Friends, we all know that we are in a period where the world is celebrating Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We in the Reformed tradition do not celebrate Christmas because it is not biblical. Christ has never told us to celebrate his birthday, neither is the day shown in the scriptures. A pastor was being interviewed on television about a few days ago to give the background of Christmas. And what he said was that it was a pagan festival. And when Christianity began, they also decided to do something to counteract the effects of their celebration. So they also decided to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I was saying, how do you celebrate it then? To counteract the effects of what they were doing. If what they were doing was sinful and you want to do something that will counteract it, how are you going to do it? Are you going to celebrate it with them, or how are you going to do it? And the host asked this pastor, how should Christians celebrate it then? And he couldn't answer. Because he asked him a question, so should we join them in the celebration, yes or no? And this man could not answer. But we believe that the most effective way of counteracting the effects of their celebration is to preach the gospel. That is the only one that has the power to counteract whatever festival that they were celebrating. So this morning, what I've decided to do is to reflect on one of the sayings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ while he was on earth. Even though we are saying that the date and the celebration is not biblical, we know that he was born. And we know that the day of his birth, it is special. So what do we do on that day? We decide to preach the gospel. That is why in all the Reformed churches, 25th December, they go to church. If you don't go to church, the temptation to join in the celebration is great. So you go to church, you preach the word of God, and then come back home. So this morning, we are going to read Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and from verse 4 to 7. Luke chapter 12 from verse 4 to 7. This is the saying of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And my title this morning is The Proper Fear. The Proper Fear. And this is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is telling us in this saying. That if there's anybody to fear, it should be God himself and not any man. We know how the fear of man has led to many, many people doing things that are contrary to God, who come through all those things. So before then, let's just reflect on a few things about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For example, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 also repeats, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth with a son. So, you see his virgin birth. He was born by a virgin. That's the greatest miracle anybody can think of. That's how he was born. Then let's look at the purpose of his birth. The purpose of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's birth. He said, Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came so that our sins shall be forgiven us, and we will be reconciled to our Maker. And then let's look at even the name, his name. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This is said in Isaiah and also in Matthew. So, looking at these circumstances surrounding his birth, if we even have to celebrate his birthday, is that how we should go? Merrymaking, wine and food and dancing and so on? No, it shouldn't be so. Today, people have become lovers of pleasure more than the love of God. And what is the reason? The reason is that there's no fear of God before their eyes. Romans 3 verse 18. There's no fear of God. In the past, believers were referred to as God-fearing people. People who believe God were referred to as God-fearing. And this is now extinct. You don't hear it anymore. And which shows how far we have drifted. Many preachers today are unconcerned about spiritual and eternal things, such as the wrath of God that is yet to come, such as how God hates sin. Go to 31st night and all the prophecies and all, nobody's warning about sin. Just giving them vain promises, fake promises. Whereas, what is needed today to be told is for the people to know their stage before God and their consequences if they don't turn unto God. We should let them know that about the alarming danger of sin, the doom that awaits them, and the awfulness of hell. So what is needed today is to let people know that the God is a God to be feared, because he has said that he will cast people into hell. And this is true. So happy is the person who sees God and fear him in that way and turn to him for salvation. These days, the doctrine of eternal punishment is now missing from the pulpits. Because, why are they doing that? Because it hasn't made them popular. You see, the preachers want to be popular. Many pastors now, they love the praise of men rather than the approbation of God. They love their salaries more than the immortal soul that God has given them. But if you talk about the fear of man, like I said earlier on, the fear of man only leads you to do things against God. The devil uses the fear of man for you to do things against God. I'll give you a few examples in the Bible. The first one is Abraham. When he was going to Egypt with his wife, because of the fear of the people, he had to lie that the wife is his sister. And this is a man that God had promised, that whoever curses you, I will curse. Whoever bless you, I will bless. So what is the fear again? And yet, because of the fear of man, he lied, which is something that God hates. That is Abraham. Pilate. You know, before Pilate could sentence Christ, he got to know that the people had brought him out of enviness. But because of the fear of the people around, he had to give Christ out, even though we know that the purpose of his coming. This man feared men and therefore committed Christ to be sacrificed. Herod. Herod feared because he had promised to give the head of John to his daughter. He had to behead John. And it's all because of the fear of the promise that he had given. Many, many people. Daniel. Even when the king had to put Daniel into the lion's den, the king could not sleep the whole night because he knew that Daniel was right, a fearful, a God-fearing man. But because of what people had made him, the decree he had made, he had to commit him into the lion's den. So we see how the fear of man can lead us actually to sin against God. So, like I said, this morning we are going to reflect on one of the powerful sayings and warnings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what I've read to you in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. And we are going to learn that the value of a man lies not in their body, but in their soul. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose your soul. Therefore, it is appropriate to fear the one who has authority over your soul than the one who can just kill the body and cannot do anything else. As for Christians, we rejoice because we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So now let's examine closely the verses that we have this morning. Some people have even said that this text is unlike Jesus' message. They are saying that it is not in conformity with his messages because it is so strong, and they think Christ, who is mild and tender, will never give such a warning. But we must know that Christ was equal with the Father. He's God who came into this world as a man. So whatever he was saying is what God had put into his mind to come and say. Because he's the incarnate God. He and his Father are one. At a point he said, if you have seen me, you have seen his Father. That is what he told his disciples. So he could not have said things that had not come from God. So this warning that we are going to talk about today is from God himself. That fear him because he has the power to cast you into hell. In John chapter 17, verse 8, he said, for I have given them the words which thou givest me. That is what Christ said. He told God that he has given us the word which he has asked him to give us. So whatever he told us was from God. So he told us everything, and so God spoke. And twice after Christ has spoken, God said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. It's like God is saying that I'm well pleased for what you have said and told these people. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am with. After Christ had preached to us. Let me repeat again. I say, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed has power to cast into hell. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. This is what Christ himself is saying. So I just want to explain what fear Christ was talking about. It's not like the terror, the fear that pagans have over their gods. No. It is a fear that comes from the heart. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, it says, thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been said. All those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. The word to tremble, that is to fear the word of God. This is the man that God is pleased with, the person who fears the word of God. In Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So we are not talking about the fear of terror. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And when we say wisdom, we are talking about knowledge. Knowing God, knowing who he is, and what he has said, and believing in them, that is the fear of God. So we are going to take them one by one. Why did Jesus have the need to tell his disciples not to fear man? I have already explained to you. It makes sense, considering the context, because before he was saying this, he has already spoken to the hypocrites, the Pharisees. Luke chapter 11, verse 53 to 54. He told us that the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he must say, lying so that they can get him at his word and then blame him. So this is where Christ had to come in again and say, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more to do with the soul. In other words, do not fear those who can only kill you, but fear the one who can kill you and also cast you into hell. So why are we not to fear those people? The reason was given because the value of a Christian lies not in their body, but in their soul. This is the reason why we should not fear those who can only kill the body. But in any case, if God does not permit, nobody can kill you. That is why when even God gave Satan the power to go and torment Job, he said, don't touch his soul. So God had to give power before anybody can kill you. And we know that this our physical body cannot continue forever. The oldest man in modern history lived about 122 years or so, as the Guinness Book of Records. But most of us can never live that long. So why are you more concerned about this short life than where you are going to spend eternity? The one who can cut your eternity short, who are you going to fear? Is it the man, the powers in this world, or the Creator himself? This is what Christ is saying. Because in any case, everybody will die. You can be killed by somebody, you can be killed by an illness, anything at all can happen, and you will die. But what happens after your death is the most important thing. So this is a problem for those who place all their value in their physical body, because they will always be fearful of the day they should lose them. Yesterday, in my devotion with my children, I was talking about how difficult it would be for very rich people to enter into the kingdom of God. Christ said it, that it would be easier for a camel to enter the needle of an eye than for a rich man. Why is it like that? Because the rich fear of losing their riches. But to come to God, you must be stripped naked. And they are not prepared to be stripped naked. That is why Christ said it would be difficult or almost impossible for them to enter into the kingdom, because they have placed their value in the physical body. Things that they have, how they dress the body, that is where all their hope and trust is on. In Mark chapter 8, 36, he said, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Let's look at the verse 5. He told them not to fear man, but to fear God. Why? Because he is the one who has authority over your soul. Yes, your soul is where your true value lies. And God is the one who has authority over it. So Jesus said, fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. God the Creator cannot only stop your heart from beating and bring your physical body to an end, but has the authority to also forcibly throw you, your soul, away into hell. Every sin that you commit accuses you before God as a lawbreaker. Every sin. Even if you sin against your fellow human being, it is God you have sinned against. Even in life, if you commit murder, the case is not between you and the one you have killed. It's between you and the authority. So when you go to court, they will say so-and-so versus the government. And that's what it is. Every law that you break, it is against God. James 2 verse 9 says that when the royal law is violated, you are committing sin and are conceived by the law as transgressors. So God convicts us of our sins, and my prayer is that the fear of God comes to our house this morning as we talk about the word of God. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 6 says, 9 verse 6 says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. This is the kind of fear we are talking about. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom cries in the street. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known unto you. That is in Proverbs. So we are talking about that kind of fear of God, where you see God as the most powerful being. You see God that you are believing in all his warnings, and the warnings are true. That is the kind of fear we are talking about. Those who fear God, like Isaiah. Isaiah, when he saw the glory of God, he said, woe unto me. That is what he said. Woe unto me. And Opey, asemwa yegina so akasa ni se in se sabre ye wo bronya brem enipe nya si omu di bronya na omu si bronya na omu di no e ye Yesu na woda na yen ye ye reform for ndi ye ni se sa asemu eni ba bi musa ye ni ba bia ya cho se eda se en ye di wu Yesu ana se Yesu kon wan ka se monye sa di se enfa enkai da ye de wo me nemom ni ye ni se enye den ya ye wo no Nti ye wo hini nti no. Eda na ewiase fo e di sa ombronya no. Yesu e de kwa sori e ko sua Yesu ne nsem kan no. Na na me ka se no mo omu interview so fo bi e wo TV so na omu bi sa no. Aba bronya na se che be bi e fria e bae. E na o ka se eye na ye abosumsem eye bosum bi a no mo sum no na dan na no ombi sum bosum no. Nti na o se pese omo ye bibi. Emma edi etwa saa abosumsem no mu enti no omo ka saa etie dia omo se be di Yesu awoda na meka sa ma o kan we no me nyi ni se e bit match achi obi akoma se that is the right thing to do se we say obi e adie na se wo mpa na wo be ya dia ma na etwa ngi ni ma na wo so koya dia ti se de wono wai ni dia na me hu adia we sia no ewiasifo nyina akisefo nyina e di bonya se de ewiasifo so e di bonya na na ye die ye de sa bre no adwindwini Yesu se mo be kan no enti na ne no mapa Luke and Saint Paul eti du mie no efri ti temu enson enan ekosi enson ne hono Yesu asema wo kan se mensro enipa mensro wiase mensro bibie ne mo sro Yakobon o Yakobon e na owo tumi se obetumi akun afi wiase na ewiase achi kwa so no obosan so di akọ obunsam obunsam eje enti se anope wuti ha na se wo dwini se bro ya ho adwini ensem a Yesu ebe kan ye no e na medika ka se Yesu na woda no ye se ede e pa e ti na ye wo no na babu ye se ye wo no se obeba na obe ye fi ye bonim bra na ye wo enkwasum boniam yakọ enkwasum na obe ye fi ho e de ko onyankopọ ho enu nti ne ma no ba wiase nti se wo si wudi na woda bia na wo dwini san sensem no ho nti ya fa na ne nsem ne ba ko a o kan ye ene ne ye gina so e de akasa se suru Yakobon me nsuru enipa na me kase so kase wo suru enipa obe ni ama bebria e betia Yakobon na me call Bible mu Abraham e sai suru wo suru enipa ntino e ma wo twa ntro se na yere e ye ninu aba pilot ohene ne bra yere e di Yesu ko enimu ohu pa se Yesu nye bo ni bia enso enipa suru ntino o ma e kokum Yesu Herod the same thing. Na onim se John enye bo ni bia esa se na wodi odi ka hye nipa bibo nti no otwa John ti edima meba enye nipa bebre ayesa Daniel ya niko to yatabuom na ohin nso nim se Daniel enye hwe nipa osuo mu nti no odi niko to ti na ye ka se osi obesuo obi dia mensuo enipa enipa bebe mu aye bo ni ati Yakobon ne mo suo Yakobon ono na owo tumi se owo bitu wodi ato hell. So if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, my word to you today is to fear the Lord instead of man. Stop placing your value and worth in this fleeting life. Listen to the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 7 talk about this. We can't read, but we just read a small portion. So let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So this morning, if you are not giving your life to Christ, if you are not a follower of God, Christ is telling you that fear God, because he has promised that there will be a day when he will come in his wrath and judge the world and throw sinners into hell and take his followers to heaven. This is a true saying. It is the Bible who is saying it. So it is a word that you should think about. If you haven't placed your life in Christ and you have placed your life in the worth and value of the physical body, then he said, let the wicked forsake his way. So forsake your way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Go from this and fear God and give your life to God. Because he has said that he will have compassion on such a person and he will abundantly pardon. No matter how sinful you are, no matter how deep your sins are, if you come to him and ask him to forgive you, he will forgive you. Like I've said earlier on, he said, the value of a man lies not in their body, but in their soul. So fear only one who has authority over your soul. Now, a few things to note before we come to the conclusion. We should know that Christ spoke on this theme very often about the fear of man and God casting people into hell. He said so many things about hell in all the four Gospels, but we can't read all of them, so we are going to limit ourselves to just a few for the moment. What Christ said was that hell is real. Hell is real. People think it's just an imaginary thing. People think there's no hell. I've told you before that a group of pastors were arguing with me that they never mentioned hell in all their preaching. They don't want to talk about hell, not about heaven. So I asked him, why are you teaching your congregation? He said, I'm teaching them things about this world. You see, the same thing that Christ is warning about. This world that is passing away, a fleeting world that is passing away, is what he's teaching his congregation. Things above, which we should think of, he's not talking about them. So you have to listen to what Christ is saying, that hell is real. And Christ talked about this so many times. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22, he said, he have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say, Raca, is in danger of the castle. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. This is Christ is saying this, proving that hell is real. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 to 30. Said, he have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, whosoever shall look on a woman to lust after her, has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Christ is talking about this again. Let's go to Matthew 23, verse 15. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte with a single convert. And when he is made, ye make him twofold, more the child of hell than yourself. More the child of hell than yourself. Matthew 23, verse 23. Yeah, 33. He said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? See how many times Christ is talking about hell? So this proves that hell is real and people will be cast into that place. The second thing we learn Christ talking about is hell is ruled by God. Hell is ruled by God. The devil has no power to throw us into hell, because he himself is thrown into the bottomless pit by God already. So he has no power over hell. It is God who has power over hell. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy body, soul, and body in hell. And then in Matthew chapter 25, verse 11, verse 41, he said, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Go to verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous in eternal life. So this proves that hell is real, hell is ruled by God. And all these things that I've told you confirm this. The next thing we learn is that hell involves rejection. It involves rejection. It is outside God's love and presence and then protection. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23 says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These were people who claimed to be Christians, who claimed to be performing miracles. And then Christ said, I will tell them that I don't know you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, he said, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See how many times and how many words Christ has used to describe hell. A place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place of eternal punishment. A place for the devil and his angels. Damnation. so many words that Christ has used to describe hell. It proves that hell is real and it is ruled by God and it involves rejection. Matthew chapter 22 verse 13 says, "Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then in verse 25 verse 30 he said, "And cast ye the unprofitable servants into utter darkness. There shall be wailing and gnashing." So you see, all these things prove that there is a place called hell, and it's not an imaginary. The next thing is that hell involves pain. In other words, it is a place that people occupy. Because Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 13 verse 40, he said, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them who do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth in the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ear to hear, let him hear." So you see, this warning is also repeated in Matthew chapter 13, verse 49 and 51. So many of them. In summary, what Christ is saying is that hell is real, hell is ruled by God, hell involves rejection, and hell involves pain. Although the apostles, Peter and Paul, they spoke of hell, but nobody spoke of hell more than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it is It was Christ who told the parable of the rich man in hell and Lazarus in heaven. It was said by Christ. It's the same Christ who told the parable of the sheep and the goat, the goat being condemned to a place prepared for the devil and his angels. The same Christ who told the parable of the man condemned to utter darkness because he had no wedding garment. So the rain, let's see what we can do with this day. Okay, we know that as Christians, whatever happens to us is for our good. So let's continue with our subject on the proper fear. We are reflecting on one of the sayings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which he said that fear not man, but fear God. Why should we fear God? Because God has the power to cast you into hell. And I've explained to you, I've quoted so many verses where Christ himself spoke about hell as real, hell as ruled by God, hell involving a rejection of God, and hell involving pain. And I was just on a point where Christ himself in so many ways also proved that hell is a place, not just an imaginary. Because he told the parable of the rich man in hell and Lazarus in heaven. That was in Luke chapter 15, 20-24. Then in Matthew 25, verse 32-33, it was Christ who told the parable of the sheep and the goat, the goat being condemned to a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Then in Matthew 22, verse 11, Jesus also told the parable of the man who was condemned to outer darkness because he had no wedding garment. All it means is that because he was not a believer. So where was he cast into? He was cast into hell. I'm sure you agree with me that it's very, very impressive that God's own son felt it as a burden to refer to hell so very clearly. And yet people who claim to be followers of Christ are saying that we shouldn't mention hell, when he himself has taken time to talk about hell as being real, to warn us that we should fear that day, the awfulness of it, the everlastingness of it, and the pain that is involved. And yet people are saying that we should not talk about hell. There are so many other warnings in the Bible about this hell, that one day God will do as he has said. The typical one first is the flood. We all know how God destroyed the whole world with the flood in Noah's time. In Sodom and Gomorrah, we know what happened. He destroyed the city with fire. The drowning of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, the destruction of the seven nations of Canaan are all signs and warnings telling us that there will be a day that God's wrath will come. And those who have not given their lives to Christ will end up in hell. So we see this was a warning because Christ had finished speaking about the hypocrites, the Pharisees, and then he turned to his disciples and gave. So this is a warning. Fear God. Don't fear man. Fear God, because God will by all means bring things to pass. So you say, I tell you, fear him. What is he saying? Certainly, this is just that there's hell, and God has the power and the righteousness to consign men and women into it. But remember that God does not send us to hell, or those who don't give their life to hell, just because he's cruel, but because of his justice. God is a God of mercy, a God of love, and yet a God of justice. So these two things must work together. His mercy and his justice must kiss each other. Otherwise, he's no God. Because he has said that he will punish sin. So he cannot say that, oh, I ask for you, yes, go, I'll spare you. Then he won't be God. He is a God of mercy and also a God of justice. And that is why he has made a way. He knows how weak we are, how impossible for us to come before him. So he sent his only begotten son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to come and to lay down his life, that through our believing in him, our sins will be forgiven us. So let us remember these things as we ponder over the sayings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So like I said, God is not interested in just casting people into hell. We make him do that. So even like he will be asking you, why do you make me do it? Why? I've sent my son, believe in him, and I will save you from hell. And people are saying that because there's no fear in man. Why did Jesus spoke so much about hell? First, because of the wrath of God. Christ knew the wrath of God. Nobody can stand it. That is why he was hammering about the coming day where the wrath of God will be displayed. And no human being can stand it. We saw what happened in the flood. We didn't see it, but we have heard. Even with the coronavirus, we can see that if God wants to destroy the whole world, it will be a matter of just seconds. Within weeks, this pandemic was all over the world. Within a few weeks, who ever thought such a thing would happen? But who knows the next thing that is yet to come in the coming years? So let's take our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by his word. And all what he has said, we know it will come to pass. He warned us and warned us because of the wrath of God. Because he knows what the wrath of God is. Why did he talk much? Because of the holiness of God. Like I already explained. Jesus is free. Lord, our God, is free from all sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So if God allows his sin to come into him, then he will be no more light. So God will always deal with sin. And that is why he has made a way that Christ should come and save us from all these things. So because of his divine holiness, it made Christ to warn and warn and warn about hell. And we continue to warn. Another reason is that because of the compassion that filled his heart, Christ was very compassionate. That is why he could leave his high office in heaven and come to dwell in this sinful world, to go through pain, persecution, and then finally death, all because of us, because of our sin. So because of his compassion, he had to talk more about the power of God throwing us into hell. So fear him who has power to throw you into hell. Brothers and sisters, do you fear God? Do you fear him as he is? How awful, how powerful he is. And whatever he has said will come to pass. Are you ready for that day? Yesterday, I was listening to people's preachings on the 31st night and all those things, giving prophecies and all. And I was wondering, that is it only on the 31st that God blesses people? Is it only on that day? And all the promises, they were behaving like they are God, telling people what will happen to them. You will do this, you will do that, you will do, and people are shouting and they know it is true. It is sad that people are being deceived in this way. And the way they are organized is all about money. It is all about money. Taking their monies and lying to them, giving them fake promises. This is what we should tell them. They should fear God. If you fear God and you give your life to Christ, and Christ and the Holy Spirit and God is dwelling in you, what do you fear again? Do you fear any evil when God is dwelling in you? This is what they should tell them. But they will never tell them because they want to be seen as special in the eyes of God. So they rely on them. Yesterday I was so sad to see thousands of people. And even at the gate, you have to pay money and they will take a small pack. Then you enter. And in the end, you hold that pack on your head and you say this after me. I will do this. I will be blessed this month. My business will grow. And people are believing this silly thing. It is very, very sad. We should tell them the truth. They should fear God. God is the one they should fear, not this world. Even if you are poor, and you know that one day when you die, you are going to where? And even in this world, he has said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. In every circumstance that you go through, he will be with you with a promise of glory in heaven. What else? What else? This is what the message of the Bible is. The whole Bible is about Christ. So what Christ came to say is what we should rely on, not what so-called prophets and apostles are saying. So, as I come to the end of our sermon today, I'm going to emphasize on the fear of God. Remember, I've told you the fear is not the kind of terror that our pagans have over their gods. They fear their gods so much that I remember I was living with a Hare Krishna friend. And you know the Hare Krishna, they have gods. They have small gods in their homes. And when they prepare their food, before they eat, they will put the food in the presence of the gods, for the gods to eat whatever before they eat. That's not because they fear them. And I remember one man broke his leg, and they were saying that because he didn't feed the gods with the food. So you see, people fear certain things instead of fearing God himself. That's not the kind of terror we are talking about. We are talking about knowing and believing that God has the power, and then you fear him. If you fear him, what do? You turn to him. For he alone has the power to save you from that situation. So my prayer is that if there's anyone among us who are not giving their life to Jesus Christ, on this day, wherever you are, bow down your head, pray, committing your life to him, tell him that you have repented of your life, you believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you are coming, so he should take you in and give you a new birth. Let's pray.